you're a note taker this morning, the title this morning is Shifting the Atmosphere. It's Palm Sunday, March 24, 2013, Shifting the Atmosphere. You're going to say, shifting the atmosphere, yeah, we're going to talk about it a little bit. Because this morning, we got to reflect upon what Jesus did at the cross. That Jesus chose blessings, not cursing. He chose prosperity over poverty. So when we look at Jesus this morning, we're going to see some things that he nailed to the cross. And when he nailed these things to the cross, they weren't for you to hold on to any longer. We know that Jesus won the battle. We know that he defeated hell and the grave and death when he rose on Resurrection Sunday, which we'll celebrate next week. It'll be a celebration Sunday. Amen. But what he did at the cross was shift the atmosphere for eternity. The ground shook. The veil was ripped. There was a shifting going on at the cross. Along the way, Jesus was walking with the cross. He already had taken the beating. He had already had the thorns put in his head. He was carrying the cross. All along the way, he was shifting the atmosphere in people's lives. When he fell and he gotten help up, he was shifting the atmosphere in someone's life. He could see the nails coming his way. But this morning we look at the cross and we got to understand what Jesus nailed to it. That we no longer need to carry the stress of life, the sickness, the lack. All these things have been nailed to the cross. Your life should shift once you understand what the cross represents in your life. There should be a balance shift. Your bank account should get bigger when you start to serve Jesus. But Pastor, I have to give. Yeah, but when you give, you receive. He's the only one that guarantees you the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold return. I don't have a bank or an accountant that can do me that good. Amen? No one could do me as good as Jesus. Amen? The Apostle Paul, he always talked about Jesus, and he always talked about the cross. And I just think about that this morning. Everywhere Paul went, he preached the cross. He was telling people what was nailed to the cross. See, the cross this morning that you see up here represents obedience of Jesus to do the Father's will. Jesus made a choice to be a blessing and not a curse. Jesus made a choice for us to have something good in our life. To clean up the mess that was before us. Because when you're obedient, blessings come. Blessings shift the atmosphere in which we dwell in. So this morning we're going to look at the Bible and we're going to take a look at something in 2 Corinthians 5:12 this morning. 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Bible says this, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, who was sinless, decided to come to take away all your sin. He became sin for us. The sickness, the disease, your lying, your cussing, your cheating, your non-tithe paying, all those type of things that you were like, he took all that upon his life. That you might become the righteousness, in other words, right standing in God in him. Man, I think about that. Man, that had to hurt. To go through his hand and hold him up. It didn't take like a little one. I mean, you all got the little spikes this morning. Yeah, you know, that would hurt. But man, a bigger one would hurt a little bit more. And then to have that pressure holding up, holding you up on a cross. It'd be bad enough to be laying down and being bolted down, but to be hung up. See, the curse was nailed to the cross. That's the first thing you need to understand. The curse. The curse. The curse was nailed to the cross. Take a look at Galatians 3:13 this morning. Galatians 3:13. There's a shifting in the atmosphere taking place this morning. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says this: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It was a curse to be nailed to a tree. It was a curse to be hung like a thief, even though Jesus was not one. Shout with me this morning. Sin was nailed to the cross. The curse was nailed to the cross. Poverty was nailed to the cross. Lack was nailed to the cross. Sickness was nailed to the cross. See, all these things God did because he wanted his son to be obedient. Obedience always brings blessings. I tell my children, if you're obedient, I want to bless you. When you're disobedient, give me your phone because it's mine I paid for. Do I want them to have that phone? Absolutely, but your disobedience will disqualify you from the prize. So God had a son, and his name was Jesus, and he was obedient. Jesus became a curse so that you might become a blessing. What was lost in the garden by Adam, Jesus erased it by nailing it to the cross. He made a choice for you and for me to be a blessing. Jesus chose to shift the atmosphere of our lives by going to the cross. Amen? How many of us still have this thing called the measure of faith? I got mine in my wallet. It's the first thing I have in my wallet when I pull out money because I know that I'm blessed because of who he is. Amen? Mine's get a little dog-eared, but it's okay. I still have the measure of faith with me. I put that out sometimes when I have my money. I just kind of leave it there and see if someone wants to have a conversation about it. I had no takers yet, but I know it's coming. What's this measure of faith you got out here next to your $20 bill for lunch? Oh, wow. Let me tell you about my measure of faith. See, fear was nailed to the cross. Fear was nailed to the cross. Take a look at Hebrews 2:14 and 15. Hebrews 2, verse 14 and 15. In Hebrews. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I don't fear death because the worst thing that happens is I don't pay taxes anymore, and I get to be with my Heavenly Father saying thank you. I get to pal around with my elder brother Jesus. I'll see some old relatives. I'll see some people that I'll be surprised to see. I didn't think they made it in. I get to see Jonah. What does it be like in that big old fish? It still smells like an anchovy. Get to see Paul and say, man, what was that like when you got blinded by God and you were persecuting him and all of a sudden you were for him? That's why I don't fear death. Jesus didn't fear it either. He took it straight on. And he knew that taking it on was going to mean being nailed to something. That means he was going to be bolted to the cross. Shout with me this morning. Fear was nailed to the cross. Say, I walk by faith and not by fear. Jesus is the fear destroyer. See, Jesus is a fear destroyer. If you're in fear, you're not in faith. What did you have? You have a measure of... You can't access your faith when you're in fear. See, man was bound by fear because it seemed like the judgment of God was going to be so severe against man. Because we've made so many bad choices. We've made so many mistakes. And we know people that say, that Lord that you talk about, that Jesus you talk about, he can't forgive of what I've done. I've committed adultery, or I've murdered somebody, or I've stole from the taxes, or I whatever that is. God is bigger than all that. Because Jesus forgives. Jesus forgave us. Jesus nailed fear to the cross. And now we no longer have the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Perfect love casts out fear. Jesus is perfect love. He endured a cross for you and for me because he loved us. We said the last few weeks that the presence of unbelief stops our faith. If you're in fear and unbelief, then you're not in faith. You can't access God's grace and his mercy and his favor when you're in fear or unbelief. When you look at the cross this morning, know that Jesus removed fear that paralyzes you. You ever see somebody in so much fear that they just sit there and they shake and they can't move there and they're in such fear? What will I do? But Jesus wiped that out when he went to the cross. I don't fear. Jesus is here. He's like Mighty Mouse. Don't fear, Mighty Mouse is here. Remember that? Remember that little cartoon? Jesus is here. Oh, you're going to get it this morning. Death. Death was nailed to the cross. This isn't my final resting place. I've got a mansion set up. Take a look at Romans 6:4. Death was nailed to the cross. Romans 6:4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Shout, death, you're nailed to the cross. See, death was nailed to the cross. When we see people go that have been with the Lord for a long time, they serve Jesus and they go, we're saddened for a moment, but we know and we rejoice and celebrate that they're with Jesus. That death's sting is no longer there. The sting is when they don't know Jesus and they die, you don't know where they're going. There ain't no purgatory. There ain't no middle ground. You get before the Lord and it's either you make it or you don't. Because you're going to have someone accusing you called the devil. Don't fear, because Jesus is here. At the cross is where death was defeated. It wasn't when he rose from the dead. It was at the cross where everything died. All sickness, all disease, including death, died at the cross. At the cross we're united or connected with death, and then we raise with God in his glory. Jesus abolished death and brought life. Why? Because he had you and I in mind. Nothing could hold down Jesus. Not even death. Not hell. Not the grave. None of that. But it all ended at the cross. The cross was the final resting place for sin, for sickness, and for disease. Death wasn't defeated when Jesus came out of the grave. Death was already defeated at the cross. Because he came out of the grave, remember, he descended, then he ascended. He had to go grab the keys to hell and to death and the grave. And he kind of just chuckled at the Satan. You thought you had me down. Do you realize that defeat, your faults and failures were nailed to the cross? Your defeats, your minor struggles, your setbacks, your faults, your failures, your bad attitudes, your non-timeliness to get to work or to church. We're on touch of nerves now. All that was nailed to the cross. Jesus wasn't late getting to the cross. Shout, Jesus nailed all my defeats, my faults, and failures to the cross. I have the victory in Christ Jesus. So you got to believe that this morning. All your shortcomings, all your short temper, your anger management, all was nailed to the cross. We were made the righteousness of Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We're in right standing with God now through His Son Jesus because of the cross. The Bible in John 10:10 said that the thief comes to kill and to steal and destroy, but Jesus came so that we may have life and have life more abundantly. It's not just about being blessed financially, having abundance, but your health, having your house in order, having your kids in order, having your family intact, having good friends, going to the right church. I mean, those things are abundant life. You going to work and being the blessing at work brings that place to be abundant. When you say, why are we so abundantly blessed? Well, let me tell you why, because I'm connected to somebody who died on the cross for me. But the thief comes, the devil comes, and he's there to kill you. He's there to steal from you. He's there to destroy you. He's there to delay you. And even when you think you've gone off track so far, Jesus puts you back on the GPS and points you to the right direction. See, Jesus' choice placed us in victory lane. Jesus made a choice that week of Palm Sunday that he was getting prepared for his destiny. I think about these spikes. And I think about how they had to go through his hand. He was already beaten. He was already bruised. He's already had thorns through his head. He was already mocked at, spit at. He already walked a long distance carrying his own cross. And then they had to put some spikes through him, one in each hand, one through his feet. I'm thinking, man, that had to hurt like Hades. It did. That's why I don't take it so lightly about what Jesus did at the cross. We should be preaching the cross a little bit more to people. Some people don't think it's even real. But we know it's real. See, what Jesus did, he shifted the atmosphere of our lives from our poor thinking to abundant thinking. And he found no more fault in any of us anymore. When he looks at us, we look like we have this clean slate. We've been washed in by the blood of Jesus. We've been put up on a pedestal to represent God. there was something else that was nailed to the cross. Satan's dominion and his authority was nailed to the cross. Shout, devil, you have no dominion or authority over me. You are defeated. So you got to start walking around like you own the town. You got to start walking around like you're connected to somebody of influence. You're connected to somebody with some power. Well, Pastor, you know, I just, walk around like Eeyore. Woe is me. I can't do it. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in and you're more blessed going out. But your unbelief gets you into fear and doubt, and then your faith level feels like it drops. But I'm here to tell you, if you look at the cross, that's encouraging for me. Because he's no longer there on the cross. He has ascended into heaven and left me a deposit of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. So I'm never alone. I don't need to walk around busted and disgusted. I can walk around with my head up high. I only have 2 quarters in my pocket right now, but God's going to do something with it. They said I'd never amount to be anything, but hey, I amounted it to something in God's eyes. See, the great news about the cross is what man lost, Jesus regained and gave us authority. He gave it back to us. I said earlier this morning that we have dual citizenship. We have an earthly citizenship, and then we have one in heaven. The devil is the ruler of this earth, but God's given us authority over him. When we speak, he's got to listen, not the other way around. I don't have to listen to what the devil's telling me. He'll be whispering things in my ear, but I don't have to listen to that because I'm not of this place. I was just given dominion and authority by someone who whooped on him over 2,000 years ago. You know, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, verse 15, you don't have to turn there, but it says, you will bruise his head, but he would crush. It says that he would bruise his heel, but he would crush the head. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, but Satan was crushed by the cross. See, this morning, Jesus got it done for you and I. We celebrate Palm Sunday because we think about what Jesus was preparing for. He didn't come in a fancy Rolls Royce into town. He came on the back of a donkey. He didn't make a splash and say, "Hey, I'm here." He said, "Oh man, I know what I'm going to be going through." In his mind, he already seen these going through his hands and his feet. He already felt the piercing in his side. But he said, "You know what? I'm going to do it for you and for me," because he loved us. He executed the plan without failure. Remember when he was in the garden, he says, "Please let this pass, you know. Lord, if you got a different plan or a better plan, please, let's do it now because I really don't want to do this, but I'll follow through. Let your will be done, not mine." If we would just allow God's will to be done instead of mine, well, I'll just keep on going over here. How much better we would be positioned in life. But I got to do it my way. Okay, Frank Sinatra, you can do it your way. But it may not lead to the things of Christ. Jesus nailed it all to the cross for you and for me. Say all. Say again, all. Say all. So what did he leave behind? So why do we then have unbelief in certain things that God can't do when he already did it all at the cross? Well, I can never get my own house, and I'll never have a new car, or my kids will never get off of drugs, or that situation will never turn around. Really? 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 That sickness and disease was going to kill me. Really? Really? Oh, I'll be in lack the rest of my life. Okay. I guess what he did with these three spikes in him, being nailed to a cross, couldn't take care of your situation. Jesus laid aside his will to do his Father's will. Today we should consider doing the same thing that Jesus did. What's the Father been asking you to do that you've been saying no to? Why have you been asked, Lord, just pass this cup, man, come on, when he wants you to go through something because he's got something for you on the other side? Why are we so disobedient and then still want the blessing? I'm trying to help you. See, we understand the power of the cross of what Jesus did. That's why we celebrate Easter season. That's why we celebrate Easter next week. It's not about the Easter bunny and the Cadbury eggs, although they're good. I like Cadbury eggs. They're only around for a short season, thank God, because you eat 10 of them, it takes you 6 months to take the weight off. How many peeps can you eat? Now they got yellow peeps and green peeps and blue peeps. Peep, 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 peeps. How many chocolate bunnies you're going to eat before you realize that's why I have acne on my face? 5 pounds of chocolate probably isn't good for me. But we get wrapped up around the season and we forget the reason for the season and what went through and who had to pay the price for the season. Even a non-believer celebrates Easter in some form or fashion by getting eggs or coloring eggs or taking their kids somewhere, and they might not even have a clue to what Jesus was all about. People are still searching for the answer. Some think the cross didn't exist or understand the life-changing event in history because they've not experienced the shift in their atmosphere when Jesus came into your life. I don't know about you, but when Jesus came into my life, there was a shift in my atmosphere. The people I hung with, the atmosphere that I had, the words I was speaking created an atmosphere, but when Jesus came in, he shifted it. I always had to catch myself, you know, say, I had to watch what I got to say because I don't want to create that environment. Some days they don't feel good, and I say, I just feel like I'm dying. My wife would look at me, she goes, that's speaking real good words. What you speak is what you have. I speak, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm healed and whole. I speak that I'm blessed and highly favored, that I'm complete in all things, that I'm the head, not the tail, I'm above and not beneath. I may be catching some hell, but fire hasn't burned me yet. You should be known that you're a little fireproof. So you got to understand this morning that when Jesus was walking down that road on the donkey, when he was on the back of the donkey and he was coming into that city, he knew what he was walking into. He knew that he could go and change the circumstances and situations of life. He knew there would be some along the way his walk that would receive him as Christ Jesus. There would be some of those, even as they nailed him to the cross, they knew there was something different about Jesus. When they put the spear in him, even the Roman guards knew there was something about this one which was different. Even the government knew there was something different, because we better put him behind in a rock over this thing so that no one steals the body, because then, oh my gosh, someone might be thinking that this Jesus was real. And he said that he was going to raise from the dead and fulfill the scriptures. And if we barricade with a big old rock in front of where we're going to lay him out, they won't be able to access him. We'll finish him once and all. Once and for all. But Jesus was about to shake the atmosphere. Jesus had all this on his mind while he was heading into town. All along the time that week, he was with the disciples. He was with those. He was praying. He was fasting. And he had this still on his mind. Think about that. Have you had him on your mind? Have you thought about what Jesus went through for you? Have you even considered Easter holiday? Or we've been so busy, I ain't got time. Have we considered what it cost him? Have we considered the pain that he went through for you and for me? See, some today don't even understand the choices that Jesus made. That Jesus nailed sin and fear and death and the curse and defeat and faults and failures to the cross. The devil's authority and dominion were nailed to the cross. Devil ain't got no authority over you. Oh, the devil made me do it. He got that much power over you? I thought you were a child of the Most High God. We blame the devil and give him more credit than he deserves. You do stuff because you're stupid. You're ignorant. You're in unbelief. Well, let's just call it the way it is. The devil made me do it. I used to use it all the time with my mom. She goes, why did you do it? The devil made me do it. No, mom, I'm an altar boy. I had these two horns that came out of my head when she wasn't around. This morning we celebrate this Easter season, this Palm Sunday. The cross behind me, it represents an open door to the Father through Jesus. Really does. It's an open door. And the cross represents that there's more room at the cross for you and for me and for all those that have already been saved and set free. There's still room for one more. There's still room at the cross for others that haven't received him yet. That's why it's so important to know Jesus. That's why we're not religious here. We're relationship bound. Amen? Jesus wanted relationship. That's why he went to the cross. This morning, I gave you a nail to think about. You might want to just put it in your car. Maybe you put one, take an extra one and put it in your house. Maybe you carry it in your pocket. I don't know. Maybe put it on your keychain. But that should represent something in your life. It should mean something. It's just not a nail. It's something that Jesus did for me. My lack was nailed to that cross. So I'm not going to lack anymore. A nail should represent that you're a child of the Most High God. What rose Jesus from the grave resides in you. You can rise above your circumstance. You can rise above your situation. You can rise above your sickness and disease. Because of what he did at the cross. It transferred to us. I didn't have to pay the price. I didn't have to go to the cross and get whooped. I didn't have to get these through my hands because I was feeling, I go, that just hurts just thinking about that. Ooh, God. Thinking about that? Wouldn't that hurt? I didn't have to even get an ounce of pain because of what he did for me. And there's still more room at the cross for others. We just have to invite them. You don't have to get all religious and beat them in the head with a Bible. You just have to share the good news gospel with them by your testimony. Y'all been through some tests. Your sickness, your disease, your test, all that's been nailed to the cross. What do you carry it for? Jesus didn't take all that with him when he departed. When he nailed it to the cross, his last words were what? I'm finished. I'm done. It's all good. It's all done. Death, hell, and the grave were defeated right there. Then he descended to scoop up the keys to the Cadillac in the mansion. All the blessings and the glory that are all supposed to be ours. The abundant life. The blessings. And he said, no more will death have a sting, because guess what? You can go through me to get to my Father, and then you'd be in heaven. You have a mansion too, and you don't have to worry about burning in hell. So sting, there ain't no sting no more. Well, the doctor gave you a report that you're going to die. That's what the doctor said. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus came to shift the atmosphere in our lives. You were going this way and you were going to hell, and all of a sudden you got a life changed by Jesus and he shifted the atmosphere, and now you're going here. In my new truck, it has 8 speeds. You could shift it automatically, it does it, or you could do it manually. I can shift the gears in my car. God wants you just to shift your atmosphere by praising him and worshiping him. By praying to him. There's a shift going on in this church. There's a shift that's taking place. You feel his presence every time you come in. It's so peaceful. I don't even want to preach sometimes. Last couple, I didn't even want to preach this morning. I said, Lord, I just wanted to sit here and just, oh, yeah, thank you. Let me fall out for 2 hours. I'll get up. It's coming. It's shaking. There's a shift going on. What happened when they put Jesus to death? Wasn't there a shifting going on? Didn't the earth shake? Wasn't the veil torn in the Holy of Holies? Some of us need a shift to go on in our life, because what we got is stale and old. And God wants to shift it and change it and add new life to it. That's why we celebrate Easter. That's why we celebrate him, because of what he's done for us. That's why we celebrate the cross, that he's no longer on it. I was at the swap meet last week. And they had these crosses. They were nice crosses. And they had, you know, they were nicely made, you know, and I thought I would get a nice one, nice big gold one to hang around, you know, as I walk around like this, you know. And some of them had Jesus still nailed to it. And I wanted to get the guy's jeweler little screwdriver and unscrew Jesus off and say, he ain't on there no more. He left the building like Elvis. To be with his Father, to prepare a spot for you and for me so we can use our enemy as a footstool and rest upon his word and his will and his way and his plan. And I've seen that and I go, I just want one without the Jesus on it. I mean, I love Jesus, but I don't want him on the cross. I want to know what the word says. I say that because there's still work that needs to be done. People don't even know that Jesus has ascended into heaven. They still think he was nailed to the cross and that's where he stayed. People still hold on to their old ways and traditions, and God wants to do something new in their life. God wants to do something in our lives. It's not going to be church like usual. Well, every week we do this at this time. I know I could be 15 minutes late because they're going to only be on the third song of worship. We may start with praise. We may just start doing word in the beginning and we'll do worship at the end. I don't know. I'll mess you up. I might have an offering every 15 minutes. That'll really screw you up. You'll be running out the door. I have to, you know, you want this money. Come on now. You're all looking at me funny. We got to get it. We're the church. We got to go be the Jesus to people. Got to love on them. Kick them in the pants a little bit. Say, you could do better. Come on, I love you though. You can do it. You're not going to die. Don't speak those words. God's about to shift your atmosphere from sickness to health, from poverty to prosperity. He's shifting the atmosphere. He's moving. He's doing some things if you allow him to. I didn't have to see the hands that he had nails in. I didn't want to be like Doubting Thomas. I'll believe it when I see it. No, I'm going to see it and still believe it. I can have all things through Christ Jesus. Why? Because he said so. Don't get mad at me when I'm driving a Rolls Royce in the house that someone gives me, blesses me, and it's a paid off house. Don't be upset with me. I'm only living the Jesus dream. There might be some tests and trials to get there. I may lose a couple things that looks like loss in life, but it's really gain in heaven. Sometimes he'll remove some stuff that you've been holding on to because it's been slowing you down to where he wants to take you. And sometimes you got to let go of some things to get the other things that God has for you. It's like the squirrel that has he's got his hands in the tree and he's got the nuts, but he can't pull it out. He's got to release some of it. You got to release some of it in order to pull the hand out. Sometimes you got to release something. Come on. Sometimes you got to release something, your faith, in the things of that you don't see and believe that God's going to do it for you. Why? Because of what he already done at the cross. I'm a believer. I don't have to see him. He see his hands. The piercing on his side. I don't have to. Why? Because I believe what he said. You're going to die. Really? That's not what Jesus said. You got cancer in your lungs. You're going to die. Really? I don't think so. It's not what he said. If he did it for somebody else, guess what he'll do? He'll do it for me. Amen? So this morning, just remember what he went through for you. Think about that, what he's done for you. Think about how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much that he wants to bless you. Hold on to your little nail and think about all the goodness of God. Lord, bless your people. I ask you, Lord God, that they receive this morning your word. I believe, Lord God, that the measure of faith that they've been holding on to, Lord God, is getting stronger. That doubt and unbelief and that fear, Lord God, is being removed from their life. Father God, I believe right now by the Spirit of God that you're speaking to those that are here this morning, that unbelief is starting to come off of them. That, Lord, they can look to the cross and know that you've put it all down right there. Sickness, disease, lack, doubt, fear, unbelief, Lord God, is all been nailed to the cross. Not to ever rise itself up, but it's been dead and taken down forever. Father God, allow your people to rise, Lord God, this morning. Let their level of their understanding increase, Lord God. Let everything they put their hands to prosper. Let everything they put their hands to grow in the goodness and the mercies of God. Let the words on their lips, Lord, speak of testimony and goodness of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, and I release your Spirit this morning upon your people, that the peace of God will calm every storm of their life. But in the storm, Lord God, let them look to the cross and know that, Lord God, they can get through to the other side. Let them know, Lord, it's going to be okay. Let them know and understand, Lord God, that you never left them, nor will you ever forsake them, that, they're, Lord God, you're with them every step of the way. And if they get off course, Lord God, you'll readjust their GPS to put them right back on track. That there'll be no more delays, Lord God. No more holding back. But, Lord God, they'll do your will, your work, and your plan. That, Lord, as they go down this week, Lord, and they know that Jesus had decisions to make, we have decisions to make about him as well. Do we choose our destiny or do we choose something else? Jesus chose to die so that we can live. Jesus chose during this week to look towards us, to love us, to care for us, to bless us. This week, let's take some time, and as we see people, let's be a blessing to them. Let us get out of our comfort zone. Let us do something that costs us something. Oh, Pastor, all I got is $8. I want to buy somebody a cup of coffee and be a blessing. You might not know them. Doesn't matter. You're going to bless them. God knows them. God knows every hair on their head. Bless your people, Jesus. Let this week, Lord God, be a week, Lord, as they walk, Lord God, closer to their destiny, that you'll meet them, Lord, in every step. I ask you to bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. And amen. Give the Lord a little hand clap. Amen. We'll take up the offering. Offering. Isn't God good? Did you get anything this morning? Or are you just bored like usual? Ready to go home? I got to go take another nap. Already slept an hour and a half at church. Praise God.